are just about 4 weeks away now to the NFL draft. It's going to be May 8th through May 10th, 4 weeks away. One of the best places to follow the draft is at rotoworld.com, powered by NBC Sports. One of the reasons why is the guy who's on the phone line with us right now. He is the senior football editor for RotoWorld. Evan Silva joins us live. Evan, how are you? Thanks for coming on the show with us tonight.
Yeah, what's up, John? It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, good to have you. The draft 2 weeks later, does it feel like we're now beginning to drag a little bit in the run-up to the draft, Evan?
Jeez, yeah, and you start to think, I mean, we got a whole month to go before anything even happens.
I mean, some
teams have started, you know, their off-season conditioning program, but I agree. It's going to be a brutal next month where it's just going to be, you know, lots of draft rumors, that kind of stuff. And none of that stuff is, or a lot of that stuff is not substantive. It's not believable. And it's, yeah, I agree. It's already starting to get a little like boring.
Now, I haven't noticed any teams doing this yet, but eventually we'll get to the disinformation phase when teams start to send out bad information to throw the other teams off the track, right? I don't feel like we're there yet, but we're probably pretty close.
Well, I think we're getting there, and I think it may have already started a little bit. If you watched ESPN's NFL Insiders today, there was more kind of, you know, damaging reports coming out on Teddy Bridgewater. And, I mean, you know, Chris Mortensen is one of the best reporters in the nation, not just sports. But, you know, these guys, they get sucked into it too. And if you watched it today, apparently he's been struggling in his private workouts. Teams are, you know, worried about his hand size. You know, and he's got excellent game tape. But, you know, it's starting. I think it's starting.
It's funny, Evan, because you see, you know, players' stock go up, players' stock go down. You mentioned Teddy Bridgewater. I'm amazed at how a pretty unknown quarterback name from even 6 weeks ago, Tom Savage from Pittsburgh, all of a sudden everybody's on Tom Savage. He's like the hottest name in the draft right now, one of them anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, Tom Savage looks the part. You know, he's 6'4", 225 pounds. He's got big hands. He can rip it a little bit. And Teddy Bridgewater, he doesn't necessarily look the part. You know, he's 6'2". Apparently, at the end of last season, he was playing at 188 pounds. You know, his hands are not that big. So, you know, NFL teams, they tend to fall in love with a model, their idea of what an NFL starting quarterback is. And Tom Savage looks like one to them. And Teddy Bridgewater doesn't.
We're on the line with Evan Silva, senior football editor for RotoWorld, and while we're talking about quarterbacks, let's talk about Johnny Football. He gets a 32 on the Wonderlic test. What does that mean? I mean, does it matter that much at all, Evan?
I don't think so. I mean, Blaine Gabbert scored a 42, and he's real close to being out of the NFL. You know, the 49ers are going to see what they can do with him, but, you know, I think that if they wouldn't have traded for him, it's possible that Blaine Gabbert would be a free agent right now. He scored a 42 on the Wonderlic, and Dan Marino scored a 15. So I don't think it tells us a whole lot. Is it kind of interesting information? Yeah, but I don't think it's at all predictive of future NFL success.
A lot of people like this quarterback class, Evan, including the old Texans and Redskins personnel man, Charlie Casserly, who created a stir up here in Buffalo the last day or so when he said that E.J. Manuel would be behind, what, 7 or 8 quarterbacks in this year's draft? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that was a little bit of hyperbole. But at the same time, you know, I think there is some truth to, you know, behind what Charlie Casserly said. I thought that E.J. Manuel's performance as a rookie was not promising. You know, am I ready to throw in the towel on him after one season? No, but I think that he has, he's got to make some major steps forward. I mean, he's got to get better with his accuracy. He's got to get better with his composure in the pocket. He's got to get better with his consistency. You know, he would look excellent one play, and then he'd look like the worst quarterback in football for the next 3 plays. And that's just, you know, I mean, that's just me being honest. And I'm rooting for the guy. I think he is an excellent person. I think he's got a lot of talent. I mean, I would never question his talent. He can rip it. He's you know, big. He's got big hands. I mean, you know, I totally understand what the Bills were thinking when they traded to get EJ Manuel last April, because he fits the profile of a cold weather quarterback, and I totally understand what they were doing, but they've got to, you know, and I think they tried to make it easier on him, but they've got to continue to nurse him along, you know, feature that running game, maybe get another big wide receiver with a huge catch radius who can, you know, kind of haul in his kind of, you know, errant passes. I want him to succeed, but I think that the way that he played as a rookie, I would be worried.
We're on the line with Evan Silva. He is a senior football editor for RotoWorld. If you have a comment or a question for Evan, the phone lines are open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. In fact, about EJ, Evan, you wrote, quote, "You have to squint to see the reasons for optimism." EJ's defenders would tell you he led a comeback victory against Carolina. He had a sensational second game against the Jets in mid-November. He was on the verge of leading his team downfield to beat Atlanta in Toronto before a couple of ill-timed fumbles. I mean, there's not all bad on EJ's report card from his rookie year, I don't believe.
No, I agree, but I think that's squinting. When you're starting to talk about, oh, he was on the verge of doing this, he almost did that. You know, that's kind of like what people were saying about Blaine Gabbert after his, you know, first and second years. He was almost this, you know, he almost did that. You know, it's just you're stretching a little bit. And again, you know, I think that he's got all the ability in the world. I think he's got a really good head on his shoulders, and I want to see him succeed. But when I watched him play last year, and I watched a lot of him, you know, you would see a really strong moment, and then you'd see a lot of really bad moments. And you would even see one, you know, somewhat promising game, and then the next game, you know, the bottom would fall out. And, you know, he's got to become more consistent. He's got to become more composed. I think they have the pieces in place defensively. You know, even without Jarris Byrd, I think they have top 10 defense in terms of talent. I think they have a top 5 running game in terms of talent. I mean, look at the rest of their roster. They don't really have a whole lot of holes. You know, maybe right tackle, but, you know, that's not a huge value position in the NFL anyways. And you could get a strong right tackle at number 9 overall in the draft, no problem. EJ Manuel's got to step up his play. I think if he does, and I think that there is some chance that he will, I think this is a 10-win roster. But I think that his performance as a rookie would worry me.
Okay. We're with Evan Silva from RotoWorld, and although I don't necessarily agree with everything you say about EJ, Evan, I would agree that he needs to step up. I mean, to me, EJ is the key player. Maybe we're saying pretty much the same thing when you talk about, you know, a possible 10-win team. I think EJ is the keystone of whatever the Bills are going to do this upcoming season.
No question. And, you know, you got pass rushers. You got, you know, Stephon Gilmore, who I think is going to be an all-pro player in the NFL. You know, you've got a really talented wide receiver core, I think, right now. That could afford to be upgraded, but I think it's real strong, even if you don't upgrade it. I think the offensive line from right guard to left tackle is well above average. And, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, EJ Manuel's play will determine whether the Bills are a sneaky 10-6, you know, playoff caliber team, or whether they, you know, lose 10 or 11 games again.
We're with Evan Silva from RotoWorld, and on RotoWorld, Evan, you and your partner Josh Norris went through and kind of handicapped each team's draft preview. On the Bills, I think you both agreed that the Bills' number one need going into the draft in 4 weeks is going to be offensive tackle. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and, you know, I like how the Bills' offensive line has come together from right guard to left tackle. I mean, I think that you have a strong offensive line. And I think that even, you know, Eric Pierce is still on the roster, as is Chris Harrison. These guys are not bums. You know, I think Chris Harrison, if he could stay healthy, could definitely be, you know, an NFL starter. Eric Pierce is probably a lower end NFL starter, but I don't think he's a guy that, you know, torpedoes your offense or anything like that. So that, but that, you know, that is an area that I think could afford to be upgraded on paper more than any other position on the Bills roster right now. And so that's why we put that number one. That said, I'm a strong believer in sticking to your draft board, and I really think that if Mike Evans is there at number nine, and I know you just got Mike Williams, and I think that was a nice move for Buffalo, assuming that his head is on straight, and you still got Stevie Johnson. But I think that if you have a chance to draft Mike Evans at number nine overall, I think you take him because he's got a 35-inch arm. He's got an unbelievable wingspan. He can beat defensive backs down the football field. I mean, he's Vincent Jackson, but I think with a better short to intermediate, possession receiver game. And I think that if he is available at number nine, the Bills have to take him.
You think he will be there? I mean, he's right on the verge, I would think, of being drafted somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to go between picks 7 and 9. And, I think he's going to go in the single digits. I think they have a chance to get him. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the draft. I know people like to pretend, oh, God, you know, this team would never pass on this guy. That it usually doesn't work like that. I mean, this is one of the most unpredictable events in pro sports. I mean, I would put it up there with the NCAA tournament. And I think they have a chance to get him, and I think that if they can get Mike Evans, they should.
All right, if they can, if they have to settle, let's say, for an offensive tackle, this is not a bad draft, first round in particular, not a bad draft for having to settle for offensive line talent, particularly at the tackle spot, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a chance that they could get Jake Matthews at number nine, and he would, you know, solidify one of your tackle positions with Cordy Glenn for theoretically 10 years. Taylor Lewan, you know, I don't think that he would necessarily be a reach or anything. At number nine, you'd make a lot of sense. I don't consider right tackle a hugely high-impact position in the NFL, but I think if you can get a Jake Matthews or a Taylor Lewan, you take them there, assuming that Mike Evans is off the board.
It's funny you mentioned Taylor Lewan, and it was just an update put on RotoWorld an hour or two ago, Evan, about Taylor Lewan, and in particular, Zach Martin of Notre Dame, who we had a chance to talk to at the Senior Bowl. Tony Pauline reports that some teams have Zach Martin, the Notre Damer, ahead of Taylor Lewan on their draft board. What do you make of that?
Yeah, Taylor Lewan has some off-the-field issues. And my guess would be that would be the reason because, you know, in terms of athleticism and build, Taylor Lewan is a prototype. I mean, he's, you know, I think he has prototypical build and athleticism for a left tackle. And I think that most teams still see him as a right tackle. But, you know, he gives you that kind of, you know, rare movement size combo at right tackle, which is, I think it's kind of rare. With Zach Martin, he's smaller, you know, he's shorter, and I think that most teams project him to guard, but he's going to be a good football player. I think they're right in the same mix, and, you know, they're going to be drafted from 9 to, you know, let's say 19. I think the Dolphins are at 19, and I think that both those guys will go in that range, and some teams may have Zach Martin a little bit higher because of Taylor Lewan's off-the-field issues or because they're looking for a guard or for whatever reason.
All right, now on your second priority for the Bills, and this is on RotoWorld, this is the draft preview for the Bills. Evan, you and Josh Norris write safety as the Bills' second team need. Is that because of Jarris Byrd?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I don't think the Bills have a lot of need. I mean, I felt like when I was writing the thing, I was kind of stretching for needs. I think that the Bills have a need at safety, but they could also fill that in-house with Denoris Searcy or Corey Graham, who, you know, played some safety in college. And I think with Chicago, he played a little safety. And I think he'd be an excellent safety. So I don't think that is necessarily a need. I mean, I was stretching for positions to be like, oh, you know, the Bills need a big upgrade here. I don't think that they necessarily do. They just need, you know, maybe to patch up right tackle, and they need EJ Manuel to play better, which we already discussed. I mean, that's I think that they're on the verge of being, you know, a sneaky team. At the same time, I feel like we kind of feel like that a lot, you know, a lot over the years. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Are there any later round quarterbacks, not, you know, first round type quarterbacks, but later round quarterbacks that the Bills might be interested in? I'd see you and Josh mention A.J. McCarron of Alabama as a possible second or third rounder, or David Fales of San Jose State somewhere deep down in the draft. What do you think? Should the Bills look for a quarterback supplement, a potential backup in the second and third days of the draft?
Well, there's a reason that those guys go late in the draft, you know, and it's usually because they don't have the physical skills to be NFL starters. So, I mean, I don't think that the Bills, I think they need to ride it out with EJ in 2014. You know, upgrade the rest of their roster as much as they can, just draft as much talent, put it on the, you know, 53, and let them battle it out. You know, I don't think that in the later rounds, you know, there of course are exceptions to that rule, Tom Brady, of course, but in the later rounds, you don't usually find, you know, future NFL starters. So unless you really believe in some kid, I don't think it's worth messing around with. I think that you ride EJ Manuel, upgrade the roster, you know, with every single pick that you have around him, and you know, hope for the best.
Got to get your opinion, Evan, on a local product here, Khalil Mack from University at Buffalo. What are we talking about? One of the top 3 to 5 picks in the draft, would you think?
Yeah, he's a special player. You know, I would be very surprised if he got you know, past the Falcons at number 6. You know, with that said, if he made it to the Bills at number 9, I think they'd take him, because I think he'd be the highest rated player on the board. Jim Schwartz likes to use his defensive end. He likes to let his defensive ends run. And Khalil Mack can run. He lines them up in that wide 9 formation. And, you know, they're going to rush the passer. And I think that, you know, adding Khalil Mack to Mario Williams and Jerry Hughes would, you know, make their, you know, that defensive line potentially, you know, even more lethal than it was last year, especially in the new scheme. And, yeah, I think he will be a definite single-digit pick, and I think he's going to be an excellent NFL player, you know, all-pro type player.
Let's take a call here for Evan Silva from Mark in Jersey City. Hello, Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, John. I just think it's funny, you know, NFL analysts and whatever, they find all these, they say fans squint to find positives about EJ, but I think they find as many minutia points to be their detractors, because, you know, it is what it is. He's a rookie, throwing predominantly rookie wide receivers in a new system. I mean, everybody finds excuses for whatever argument they want to have. But as far as right tackle at 9, I think it's a waste. The guy you asked, Kevin Weidel, about, Joel Bitonio, I think is perfect. I think he'll be there in the second round. He mimicked a lot of things that Marone and Whaley said about position flexibility and the ability to be like a, I forget that little tag he used for a real forceful run blocker. You had it. You asked him about it.
Uh-huh.
Like inline power.
Yeah, Kevin Weidel, yeah, said that the other night, yeah. Yeah, well, interesting. He makes an interesting point, Mark does, the caller, Evan, and as far as evaluating EJ. How much of your perception of EJ, I mean, not to make excuses, but he was a rookie. He only played 10 games. That has to factor into somewhat of an evaluation of what he did and did not do last year, I would think, right?
Of course. I mean, and that's why he's getting another year. You know, I mean, if he was a seventh-year veteran and EJ Manuel played like he did last year, he would be released, like Matt Schaub, or you know, I mean, or benched. I mean, he's going to get another opportunity to play. So, and that's because he's a young player, and they used a high draft pick on him. And, again, like I said, I'm hoping that he can step up his performance. But his performance as a rookie was not promising for the future. It wasn't effective for the 2013 Bills. You know, I don't know what else to say other than he played poorly as a rookie. There was no consistency to his on-field performance. He needs to become a more composed quarterback in the pocket. He needs to throw the ball with, you know, better technique. He needs to throw the ball with better ball location. And he needs to play with more confidence. And we will see if that's going to happen in 2014.
Last thing, Evan, what do you and the guys of Roto-World, your run-up to the draft, I know you're going through your draft preview team by team. Do you take that all the way up right till draft day, or what's to come on Roto-World leading into the NFL draft?
Yeah, we're looking at every team, looking at all their needs, and proposing, you know, potential answers to their problems.
All right, right up to the draft. Evan, we thank you very much for being on the show with us tonight.
Thanks, John.
All right. Evan Silva, senior football editor for RotoWorld.com. We thank him for joining us. And interesting thoughts about the Bills. Obviously, their number one need, according to Evan and the guys at RotoWorld, is offensive tackle. The quarterback thing, clearly, you know, he has an opinion about EJ. Said he had a worrisome year, I think he wrote in print. I don't think, as I said to Evan, I don't necessarily agree with that. I'd like to... I know that EJ can play better. I'd like to think that much of what went wrong for EJ last year was a product of just 10 starts and trying to come back for the season opener after missing the last couple of weeks of training camp and then getting hurt again and struggling in his second return to the lineup, you know, with the game at Pittsburgh. Very much of a struggle there. Those were some difficult games. The Steelers game, the first Jets game. Let's face it, difficult games. But I did see some bright spots, too. I think many of our listeners did as well. I do think it matters, the Carolina comeback. I think that's said a lot about E.J. Manuel and what he brings to the table. I do think the way he played in his second go-around with the Jets means a lot. I think, and despite the fact that, you know, Evan discounted the Atlanta, the comeback that was, you know, in progress until the drops by Stevie and Scott Chandler, I think that said something to me, too, about E.J.'s resilience and his ability to hang in there and play. But difference of opinion. But, you know, it's good to hear a difference of opinion from time to time.